For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. This season, get premium tech that inspires joy from Dell Technologies. Bring projects to life with the XPS 16. It delivers supercharged processing for enhanced productivity and freedom to express yourself. Performance-class Dell PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors deliver a dedicated engine to help accelerate AI. Enjoy free shipping, Dell rewards, and expert support. When you get a Dell PC with AI, it gives back. Shop now at Dell.com/deals.
Pitch, Hedman swings, hits a high fly ball.
Goal! Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ball comes out. Deshaun writhing in pain as well.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hurts gives it to Barkley.
Touchdown, Jefferson, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody. Coming up, Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on this Monday of week 7 of the National Football League. Also getting ready for the NBA season to tip off tomorrow night. We're also just had a quick conversation about the World Series matchup that is finally happening for Fox and Major League Baseball. The Yankees and the Dodgers. And oh, just in time for Ohtani to play in the World Series. My goodness gracious. Ohtani in Yankee Stadium for the World Series is going to be lit. And that's that porch.
He's hitting a short porch. How far are these home runs going to go?
Pitch. I mean,
it's going to be like,
hey, listen.
Do you walk him to start every game?
No, just pitch him outside, man. Make him go the other way.
Don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, I don't think it'll matter.
Pitch him the other way and make him roll it over. Bottom line, keep make sure there's nobody on base. That's
He's hitting 818.
By the way, this advice is free. This advice is free for Aaron Boone.
Honestly.
This is free. Free charge.
Is that in the binder? Is that in the binder? Don't let guys get on base.
Okay.
He does have to.
It's crazy. Again, just like
throw the binder away.
Leadoff walks in
always score.
Always score.
Always score.
Yeah.
And the game's over and your season's over.
And you're just like, it's 1-0. What are we gonna do?
It's great. Playoff baseball's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's intense.
Hey, some news out of Miami. The general sense of watching Tua after he got wrecked on the field against the Buffalo Bills in week number 2 on the opening Thursday night of the season on Prime Video, watching him get wrecked and placed on IR, but then watching him, after all of that, hop a flight to Seattle as he was cleared to play there and put on injured reserve and being with the team and looking clear-eyed. The general sense was once he's done with the injured reserve, he's going to come back and play football and be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins again. And all the conversation that would come out of that is, should he do it? Why would he do it? So on and so forth. It looks like we're going to hear from the man himself on Wednesday, because that's usually when starting quarterbacks meet with the media. And with his injured reserve time and the required 4 games of being on injured reserve being up in advance of the Arizona Cardinals, who play tonight on one of the 2 games of Monday Night Football against the Los Angeles Chargers, sure looks like it's going to be Tua, or at least the chance of it being Tua is greatly increased after you hear what head coach Mike McDaniel had to say today.
Our plan is to start practicing on Wednesday, and you know, the clearing doesn't come until after some of the activity, but we're obviously doing so in the hope of everything going well so that he can play Sunday, but that will be to be determined.
He was asked if Tua was going to wear a Guardian cap, and that's the caps that you see that make the helmets look puffier. Those are the Guardian caps that you see on offensive linemen in practices, because most of the concussions that happen for offensive linemen occur in the crashing of padded practices. Yeah. And you're seeing some players wear them in a game. Josh Hines-Allen wore one in a game a couple weeks ago. And when I saw him in London, and I asked him if he was going to wear the Guardian cap again, he said no. I asked him why he wore it to begin with. He said it was because his wife was concerned about him getting dinged up the game before, even though he swore he wasn't concussed. He got hit in the face, not the top of the head. He wore it because his wife was saying, hey, it would be helpful if you wore one of those things. He said that makes your helmet a little heavier. He hasn't worn one since. But anyway, Mike McDaniel said it would be left up to Tua. And I would just say this, just wear it, Tua.
Yeah. Just make him do it.
I just hope he wears it. And then just slide. I mean, that game again, I think it was because he threw three interceptions in that game and he was trying to do he could.
They needed a little something, too.
And he ran right up the middle and ran right into the thigh of DeMar Hamlin, of all humans. And
it looked like kind of a nothing
collision, which is the scary thing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, is that what looks like something that most people will just get up from gave him yet another concussion, and he'll just have to take care of himself and the Tua jitsu we were talking about. Hopefully he finds that, because it looks like he's coming back, and we'll hear from him Wednesday as to why he wants to. I think I know why. Don't want your career to end that way. Don't want your season to end that way. And he loves football. He's a football player. But it looks like Tua's coming back. Wear the Guardian cap, please. Now, as I mentioned earlier today, Tom Brady's performance in the booth, breaking down in real time and dissecting in real time Patrick Mahomes' game, was just awesome. I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was Brady's best. I thought Brady, the way he was slicing it up and putting us in the shoes and in the helmet of Patrick Mahomes, was like one goat knowing another. Goat recognizes goat, and he did it in a very simplistic way, and he did it in a way that wasn't arrogant, like, I'm a goat, so I should know what Mahomes is doing. I thought it was excellent. And as you know, watching Bill Belichick go through his first foray as a member of the media and a pundit has been awesome. Watching him on Inside the NFL is fun. They do fun stuff with him. Mm-hmm. He's been having fun, and it doesn't surprise me at all. Certainly in that studio is where NFL 100 took place, the 100th anniversary all-time team show that I did with him and Chris Collinsworth. This doesn't surprise me at all. One of the, as I've mentioned before, and I'll say here again, aspects of his punditry that I did not see coming, but I think we all should have, is his penchant and seeming glee he has at the opportunity of broadsiding the New York Jets anytime he can. And today he mentioned how it sure looks like the defense was playing better when Robert Saleh was head coach, and the Jets are the Jets, and Woody is Woody, he said. In reference to the owner of the Jets. And so we've seen that movie before. He takes that opportunity every single time. And I'm enjoying seeing that. But this one is new, because he really hasn't had an opportunity to break down or analyze or even criticize anything that the Patriots have done. Because with all due respect, this is not in any way, shape, or form said other than the intent of their relevance has kind of been fleeting so far this year, with the exception of beating Cincinnati in week one. And then ever since then, not playing that well, and a lot of folks aren't paying much attention to New England because they're not in the mix. They're just not in the mix.
And it's been a terrible watch.
And Drake May, they finally have gone to him, and he has been pleasant to watch. You know, I mean, yeah. Obviously,
it's fun and exciting.
Right. There are plays that he actually is making.
He's making plays and throwing bombs and running around.
But Gerard Mayo calling the team soft after losing to Jacksonville is something that you don't hear from a coach. We talked about it with Damian Woody before. I have a feeling this is something that Susie Schuster and Amy Trask are going to talk about on What the Football Tomorrow, because they were emailing around yesterday, and when Gerard called the team soft, and Amy, I think, has some definite ideas on this, a coach using the soft word publicly. Belichick was asked about this by our friend Pat in his Monday appearance, and I don't believe Pat will have an issue with us just saying, let's play it. This is his response to his former player and longtime member of his coaching staff and successor calling these players, many of whom Belichick coached last year, soft.
I'm kind of hurt for those guys because they call them soft. They're not soft. They were the best team in the league last year against the run. And those guys went out there and did it, even though we couldn't score many points offensively. So, I don't know. I feel bad for the defensive players on that one because those guys, that's a tough group. I mean, John Jones, Godshaw, Wise, Jennings, those are all the Uche. Those guys are all tough players. Like they'll strap it up and go. Duggar, yeah. I mean, they're tough guys.
And I'll just say this. I mean, he's not ducking it, and he's just shooting you straight. That's what helps when you got all those rings and all that, you know, knowledge, and certainly about the roster. He's not just turning it down. He's telling you what it is. Same guys.
Yeah, same guys. Yeah, and Mayo, you know, in the last few weeks, it's taking veiled shots at Bill about maybe, you know, Bill didn't leave him the greatest roster. And it's like, well, they re-signed a lot of the guys that Bill had drafted. And a lot of the guys on the number one run D from last year are on the team this year. It's been tough watching Gerard Mayo coach these first seven games, and hope he gets better. Certainly he's not going to be one and done or anything. So learn, improve, get better each week. But man, every time they show him on the sideline, I think of what could have been having Mike Vrabel there instead.
Dude, some of the most popular people on the planet are coaches you didn't hire and the second string quarterback, right?
True.
Right. And I mean, you talk to some of the Ohio State friends, and I won't bring this up with Terry McLaurin. He's going to zoom in shortly. A lot of them want Vrabel. Vrabel's going to be a guy in demand.
Yeah.
So will Bill, I imagine.
Bill
wants to coach again.
I imagine.
But that said, part of the reason why they might not be as good of a run defensive team, the quarterback spot last year is pretty dreadful too. I was going to sit there and say that, you know, these guys are getting put back on the field after three and outs. Last year was no great shakes either.
Last year, no, not at all.
Right?
No. I think the frustrating thing for Pats fans too is like the process of Mayo was named coach in waiting years ago. They didn't interview anybody else. They didn't even bring Mike or anybody else in for a chat. It was just like, Bill is gone and Gerard's the head coach. And you're just kind of, as a fan, you're like, okay, why? What has he done to earn it? What has been, there was no transparency. It was just frustrating. And now you're kind of seeing it and you're just like, okay, look, we knew the roster was less than, and we weren't going to win a lot of games this year, and a total rebuild. Understand that. But some of the things he says in the media and the sideline demeanor, you're just like, does he know we're playing a game? Like, what is going on right now?
Well, again, sideline demeanor where you're not demonstrative works when you win. When you lose, it looks like you don't have a pulse.
Yeah.
Joe Torre had no demeanor other than just like sitting there and chewing his chaw and sitting with Don Zimmer, probably talking about the ponies in between innings.
True.
And just and if the Yankees were losing, you'd be like, do you have a pulse? But if you're winning, you're like, oh, that guy's just He's calm. You never know if you're up or you're down. You know, and again, you're viewed differently. You're looked at differently when you don't have a quarterback either. No coach looks good without a quarterback. Yes,
well, that seems to have been solved. That problem is
fixed. So we will see moving forward as Drake May continues to show improvement every single week, which is, by the way, good for him and the staff that you're seeing improvement.
Yep. It's just everyone else around him.
And we'll see how we'll see how the soft comment lands. Because in come the Jets, who have lost four in a row.
Yep.
And one thing that Belichick loved to do and was outstanding at was sticking it to the Jets just when they were down and made them worse. Yep. Seeing ghosts, et cetera, so on and so forth. And so he's challenged his team to be less soft publicly as the Jets come in on a four-game loser and absolutely in dire straits. And the one way to get rid of all of what we're talking about right now and what's being probably discussed and burned up on the 24/7 you know, talk right now in the New England area, with them coming in on a 6-game losing streak, is to mess up the Jets and Rodgers even worse and do to them what they did to Cincinnati somehow in week one.
Yeah.
And but we'll see how the soft comment lands.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
right now,
I want the best draft pick possible. But I mean, they can win the next two games. Jets have two wins. Titans have one win. And
they need a win. Certainly, people are talking about is Jerod Mayo the guy already. You know what I mean?
It's being talked about.
I know. Yeah. And Belichick going on McAfee show and saying, hey, you know, these guys were top run defense in the league last year. So, and we, you know, and he's not saying it, but I'll say it. The offense wasn't that great last year either. So you can't sit here and say, well, they were 3 and out and back on the field. They were pretty damn good last year. So right now they're not. You're calling those guys soft. So whose fault is it?
Right.
Was the 100% unsaid portion of what Belichick said on Pat's show today.
Absolutely.
And so we'll see what, because I imagine there is there a Manning cast tonight?
There is a Manning cast.
Yeah, so we'll see if they want to follow up on that. I don't know. But for sure. But just take a look at how coaches who don't have quarterbacks are perceived. Mike McDaniel over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Went from genius to like Tua's got to come back because Tyreek Hill didn't have a target in the first half. It's like, hey, Snoop, that's number 10 out there. You know, target him. Kevin Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. People are like, what are you doing there before, you know, Deshaun got carted off? I'll be honest. I'll shoot you straight. How about my college head coach? Where a lot of guys in my world are like, is Sharon the guy? Well, he doesn't have a quarterback, with all due respect to the kids that are trying.
Right.
I mean, coaches do not look great when they don't have one. You guys drafted one. You now have one. And on defense, they've been called soft. So I understand you want the top draft choice, but you could use the W in New England with the Jets coming in. This is the week to do it.
It'd be nice just to see it.
Let's take a break. We're going to see Terry McLaurin on a Zoom for the 5-2 Washington Commanders. How can he? I'll ask him how his quarterback is, too. That's coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. This season, get premium tech that inspires joy from Dell Technologies. Bring projects to life with the XPS 16. It delivers supercharged processing for enhanced productivity and freedom to express yourself. Performance-class Dell PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors deliver a dedicated engine to help accelerate AI. Enjoy free shipping, Dell rewards, and expert support. When you get a Dell PC with AI, it gives back. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. So a couple of, let me take my water bottle out.
Hey, got
a couple
hydrate.
Of things to follow up on. Tua says he will not wear the Guardian cap.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, good luck.
I hope so. Personal choice. That's what he said.
All right.
So there's that. And it's amazing how we sometimes talk about things and then they get addressed. Remember we said that the Eagles and Jaguars on a Sunday night, week 9, they're probably going to flex out of it?
Yep.
They have.
They did.
They did. It's now Vikings-Colts.
Vikings-Colts.
Okay. I mean, the Colts are 4-3 right now.
Flacco-sans.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because he's eventually.
That's not what should happen.
Remember what happened last time I said it.
Even with the Flacco sometimes and the Anthony Richardson struggles, the other times they're 4-3. They're 4-3. You are what you
are. They win this week. They're in first place.
They got to get Jonathan Taylor back.
Well, I'm sure NBC's hoping he is. Minnesota's at the Rams on a Thursday night.
Whose house?
Rams house. Swerve's Kevin O'Connor's house. Back. So Minnesota against Indianapolis. That could be when TJ Hawkinson returns too. Okay. We'll see.
That could be fun.
But Jacksonville's 2-5 start has cost Philadelphia a Sunday night game, if that matters to them. So that's that. That'll be a 4:00 Eastern game. So
that was smart to flex out of that.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I imagine I'm looking at some other games that are probably protected. Like yeah, Buffalo, Miami was protected.
There's some nice
Atlanta, Dallas, I'm sure was protected.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. Washington, the Giants. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Year 6 for this guy, and the Washington Commanders are off to a 5-2 start. And he's coming off of almost a 100-yard performance in the win over the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terry McLaurin. How you doing, Terry?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You're more than good. So let's talk about it. I know this is a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway. How does it feel different this year than previous years of you being with Washington, Terry?
Yeah, I think just from the first day that Coach Quinn got here, he really set an expectation of how we're going to come together as a team. But it wasn't even football oriented quite yet. It was really getting to know one another, spending time in the meeting rooms in the spring. Obviously, we had the Navy SEAL training, which I felt like really built some of our camaraderie just in different ways. And I think you see a group of guys who like to hang out with one another, even between practice, after practice. And then we get to the football field and the expectation of us being, you know, Dan Quinn calls him BMS, which I know, you probably know what that stands for. But it's a way of life. You know what I mean? Like he really preaches us like it's a standard that we're really trying to build here. And it's been great to be a part of it. And it's something like every week we don't have to get up for any game because we get up for them all. It's just how we get down. And I love that saying that he has, because when hopefully you're playing for meaningful games in the late winter, you know, you don't got to get up for those kind of games because this is what you've been doing all year. This is the mindset you have each and every day and in practice as well.
So for those who might not know, Terry, Navy SEAL training, what? Yeah.
So we basically were, it was kind of just like team building. I don't know if people are familiar with those big logs that everybody, that they carry sometimes in their training.
Sure.
And, you know, I think we probably had about, probably like 7 to 10 different logs. And we were broken up into groups, and there were some guys leading in the group, and then there were some guys that had to follow. But the main objective of it was, like, we had to listen to commands, and if one guy messed up, then everybody had to start over. If one guy was kind of not holding his end of the log, then the other guys on the other end are carrying more weight. You know what I mean? And little stuff like that really feels like the not only the communication, but the trust, because you're trusting that other guy to carry his weight. And I think little things like that really helped us get to know each other and kind of just break down the walls of sometimes more than just football. And I think it was been really good for us as we got started. But we have fun competing with each other. There's always competition going on in this building, and it's winner or loser. And I think a guy like myself loves that, because you pretty much know where you stand each and every day. So I think it makes everybody better. Like I said, I think it allows us to come in on Sunday, and it's just what we do, because we compete all week. We have a brotherhood all week. So when we go out there, that's the fun part.
Well, I just tossed my cookies thinking of that, you know, just going through a training like that.
Yeah, it was kind of tough too.
I imagine. I mean, it did. And it's interesting that you refer to it as team building, because that obviously does build a sense of team. And relying on another teammate, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's interesting that we have this conversation now, because I would call what I saw in week 7 for your team a big team win. And I'm wondering if you can connect the two of what you just said to what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's just the standard, right? Like, I was just trying to explain, like, the standard that we're trying to build, where you see Jaden go down and you never want to see your starting quarterback go down. But when Marcus comes in and when he finally got in the rhythm, it's like we didn't miss a beat. You know, we still put up 40 points. We still had a lot of room that we can improve. But there's a standard of offense that we want to play with in excellence, no matter who's back there at quarterback, no matter if I'm out there at receiver. The standard is the standard. And I think Cliff does a good job of echoing that each and every day. Guys who don't have the ball, you're going to finish down the field blocking for your teammates. You know, you're going to be happy for guys who are getting the ball. You're going to do whatever it takes to help the team win. And I think when you see that offensively and then defensively, you know, they did a great job creating turnovers yesterday. That gives us extra possessions. They even scored. Dante Fowler had an unbelievable game to show the athleticism. But you see guys just running, even on picks, you see those guys running to get blocks. It's just unselfishness that you play with. I think that it's infectious. And then when you see the results on the scoreboard, it makes it even more fun. It kind of just drives home the point of we're building the right things right now. So we still have room to improve, which is the fun part. But, you know, I think you saw the commander identity, where we're going to be fast and physical. We're going to create turnovers, create explosive plays, and no matter who's in there, that standard's going to be set.
Terry McLaurin here on the Rich Eisen Show. What was it like, though, when you saw Jaden go out and Marcus come in? What was going through the collective mind, your mind, Terry?
Yeah, it's tough. You know what I mean? Like, you especially a guy like Jaden, who you know is a competitor. So, you know, if he's out the game, it's something that obviously is going to raise a little concern. But he was in good hands with our medical staff. And it was just, you know, it kind of throws off your game plan a little bit. But one thing that I noticed that, you know, I play with multiple quarterbacks, and sometimes the game plan changes when your starting quarterback goes down. And for Marcus to come in and keep the exact same game plan, we were running the ball well and then using the play action and spreading them out vertically. The game plan didn't change when Marcus came in. And I think it's a testament to the preparation, the trust they have in him. But his veteran leadership since he's been here has been unbelievable. He's not only a great person, but he's a competitor. He does a great job connecting our group. And I know he's been great in the quarterback room for Jaden and his development. So for him to come in, like I said, we rally around him. I think my favorite part of the game was when we went in and got the 2 minute before half. Like, we practice situations, some sort of situation every day at practice. And so for your quarterback, your backup quarterback to come in, he doesn't get the 2 minute reps with the ones. For us to come in and come get a touchdown, that's, again, the standard. Like, nobody, no matter who's in there, we still expect to put points on the board before and got to have a situation. So I'm proud of the way that he came in, but I didn't expect anything different from Marcus. He's a great teammate, and you know, before JD even took over the starting reps in the spring, you know, him and I got some good work in, and he has a great rapport with the other guys, and the O-line is doing a great job protecting him as well. So, yeah, I think that it was just on display yesterday, and it just made it really fun. And then for the defense to be balling like that on Daryl Green Day, that place was rocking. So it was cool to be a part of that.
That said, not to turn you into my information man, but what do you what can you tell us about Jaden and his health right now, Terry?
Yeah, I don't quite know yet, honestly. I just got in here and got a good lift in, get a sweat, try to start the rehab process to get back ready for next week. But good thing about it, we have a lot of great people in our medical staff that are taking great care of him. I know he's going to do whatever it takes to try to be ready this week, no matter what that looks like for him. Like I said, he's the ultimate competitor. He's a tough dude. He's going to put his body on the line for the team. Obviously, you know, we want him to be able to protect himself as much as possible. He's a ball player, you know what I mean? And guys like that, we feed off of his energy. So I know he's in good hands, and he's going to do whatever it takes to try to be ready this week.
Well, especially since, you know, it's the Bears, and that's Caleb Williams, and he was the guy taking over Jaden Daniels. You want to talk about being a competitor here, and that's all we in the media were talking about in Detroit for the draft, and certainly over the summer, is these two guys are going to be connected at the hip for the rest of their careers, pretty much. So I'm sure he would like to be out there. And the belief that this team has, obviously it was born through the training in the spring, as you mentioned, and the summer. But this kid and how he came out of the box, and how he's looked, and how he holds himself, right? Not just on the field, but in front of the media. Just the way he just carries himself is something else. And the moment that made me kind of realize that this was real was when he found you in the end zone in Cincinnati to send everybody home safely. You know,
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, that could have been one of those moments, well, we'll settle for a field goal, and then Joe Burrow can go down the field. No.
You guys
ended the game, and I'm wondering, 100%. What did you feel that way yourself at that point?
That game, honestly, I think was a big part of the turning point for our offense, because leading up to that week, we kind of struggled a little bit in the red zone, kind of had some penalties. But on a big stage against a playoff caliber team that, you know, at the time they really needed a win, you know what I mean? And they were playing at their house. Their fans are unbelievable. And for us to, you know, go down and there's zero blitzing them, you know what I mean? Like, got to have it 3rd and 7, you know who's on the other sideline. And they kind of had some momentum a part of that game. For him and I to be on the same page and connect, you know what I mean? Coming off the sideline, we just basically caught our shot. Cliff trusted us. The O-line blocked it up. J-Mac picked up the blitz. And it was like that ball fell right in the breadbasket. And those are plays that, as a receiver playing this long, those are plays that you really bank in as a win for your offense, not only in the immediate term, but long term, because not too many situations get more critical than a gotta-have-it situation, zero blitz on Monday Night Football against a great team. So for us to connect, you can just see his poise throughout the entire game. You can see his confidence building. He wanted to get the calls in fast. And I just think, again, like you said, he hasn't carried himself like a rookie. When he first got here, when we drafted him in the spring, I was really taken back by the way he was able to come in within the first really walk through in meeting practice and all that stuff. And he was calling the signals. He was knowing the plays. He knew the checks. And I'm like, that's pretty good for a guy who just kind of got introduced to the offense. So it's no shock that he comes in early. He leaves late. He puts in all the time and the work. And there's no surprise why he's having success. And obviously coming out of college, the experience that he had, playing at two different universities and then finishing his Heisman career and, at LSU, playing in the top competition, he came in ready to light the world on fire. But I think he has the confidence in his work. You know what I mean? That's why he comes out and he just plays at a high level, because he puts the time and the work in, and he's very detail-oriented, and he's charismatic as well. So guys like playing with him because he plays with that chip and hunger inside of him.
And then just watching your reaction on the sideline after that moment, Terry, you know, and again, no offense to whoever was throwing you the ball in the first five seasons of your career. You looked like a guy like, yeah, I've got a guy. I've got a guy. I can make plays. I got a guy who will let me make these plays. And I've got a team that is going to put me in these positions to be the man. I kind of felt that. You're nodding your head.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think I've felt that for a while now. And with Cliff coming in and DQ, and even with a new quarterback, I know I've been here, but I've always been with somebody that coming to each and every year, I want to earn my respect from my team, my coaches, the quarterback, and not feel like I got it all together. Oh, just throw me the ball. Like, I think that's something that's earned each and every way, each and every week, each and every practice. And for him and I to start to connect, it gets really exciting because you see his ability to throw any ball on the field vertically, horizontally. He has great touch and accuracy. His anticipation is unbelievable. It gives you a chance to make plays on get yards after catch. And so, like I said, that Cincinnati game, just to see his improvement over the courses of the first few weeks, I knew that was going to happen because he was showing it in practice. The defense would have a good day or he may make a mistake, but the next day he wasn't making the same mistakes. And his ability to be able to extend plays with his legs, throw the ball, obviously. And, yeah, him and I are definitely connecting. Even, you know, the tough loss to Baltimore, for us to be another guy to have it fourth down situation and we were on the same page, you threw a great back shoulder. Like, those are things that build confidence between a quarterback and a receiver. And you know, the great thing about Cliff is it seems like he's allowing him more and more to just release the reins. He's allowing him to be him. They're not stifling him. We have unbelievable weapons at our disposal, from our running backs to our tight ends got involved this week. Other receivers have been playing great, so it's a really collective effort. But it's definitely fun to see that him and I can definitely have room to continue growing our relationship. But early in the season, we're starting to connect, which is really fun and important. I'm having a lot of – you see me on the sideline, I'm having a ball.
Yeah, you could see it. Did it mean more to you also that it happened in Ohio, Terry?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. I think it's always great to be back in the state of Ohio.
I know.
Obviously, I know. Being a Buckeye at heart. Mm-hmm. But I just think in that moment, like, we live for those moments. And I know personally, I'm the ultimate competitor. So to go in on Monday Night Football against a good team, like I said, they really wanted that win. They needed that win. And it doesn't get too much tighter than third and seven. Got to have it. You don't want to get a field goal to give them the ball back. And Jaden and I were just on the same page. And I think him and I communicating and being able to execute it with a zero blitz, I think that like you say, you send everybody home safely with that, because
yes,
when you start zero blitzing you know what I mean? You start hurting them in that way. They kind of have to think twice. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean they'll never zero blitz us again, but they just got to think twice because you have an ability to hurt them with their quarterback and our playmakers on the outside. So there's definitely been some moments there, even last week. And we've had some moments where I'm just like, I'm excited to see how this thing can continue to grow as an offense, and not just myself, but obviously having the guy that I feel like that you always want to build a rapport with. I think that's extremely exciting for me personally, but I'm so proud of the way that we're playing right now and continue to stay hungry, and the way we're putting in the time and the work and the effort and practice, I think is really the reason why we're having success. And just trying to continue to minimize the mistakes and come out ready this week, you know what I mean, against a good Bears team that's coming off a bye week, so they'll be fresh, ready to go. But we're excited to play another game at home. I know it'll be rocking again. And it's a fun time to be a Commander and a Commander fan for sure.
Damn straight. Yeah, I mean, because again, before I let you go here, you know, a lot of people talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. and Olave and Jackson Smith and Jigba and Garrett Wilson. You're kind of the OG at this point. I know it's just year six, but of the current crop of Buckeye receivers that keep on hitting this league, you know, you're kind of the OG.
Terrible. Man, it's crazy, Rich. What? I'm not gonna lie. Like, hey, I'm like a young OG, not only there, but like in this building. You know, it goes by so fast, and I'm blessed to be in this situation that I'm in. And I learned a lot at Ohio State. I think it really prepared me for the league. And kind of towards my end, you can see the trajectory of the receivers going back up to where it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think I'm not biased at all. I think wide receiver U belongs in Columbus. And I think just the depth, the longevity that we've had at that position, and then the way Heartline is taking it to the next level, you always want to leave the place you go into better than when you found it. And so we had a great group of guys my last year there, even learning from Michael Thomas and Devin Smith.
That's right.
My early years. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's always been receivers come out of Ohio State, but to see how they've taken it to the next level is like first rounder, and they're ready when they get to the league. And so, you know, I'm always cheering those guys on. I'm looking at their stacks. I'm talking to Heartline here and there. And, you know, if you want to be a ready receiver for the NFL or just have a great career, play with great quarterbacks, Ohio State is definitely the place where you're going to get developed and be ready for the next level. So to be kind of like at the forefront of that and just be an ambassador, I think, like I said, I'm blessed to be in that situation. And, you know, I'm a little bit more low key. I may not have all the flash, but I definitely put my time and work in. It's working out for me, man. So, yeah, it's good to be a part of wide receiver U and to be kind of like the OGs or somebody they could lean on and draw wisdom from. I'm always going to try to share that with them.
They're saying Geno Smith's cousin Jeremiah might be the best of them all, Terry.
Right? That's what I'm hearing.
Including you though. That's saying
now. Like my eyes don't lie. You know what I mean? And I think the biggest thing that I've noticed, like obviously the moment's not too big for him. He's going to catch the ball better with one hand than he does two. And you can just see the natural God-given ability that he has. It's just different. Like, everybody saw when Marv came in, it's like, okay, he's 6'4". He runs route like he's 6 feet. He's quick. He's fast. He has great hands, catch radius, all that. It's like they upgrade. Every year you go Chris and then Olave, and then you got Chris, and then you got Garrett, and then you got Jackson. And even Emeka is having a great year as well, but Jeremiah Smith, I think the number one thing that is cool to hear coming out of Columbus is his work ethic. A lot of 18-year-olds, especially nowadays, I'm not trying to sound like an old head, but there's a lot of things that are coming their way as young athletes in college with NIL and portal and just so many moving parts. To hear a guy who's coming straight out of high school who has his head on straight and is just a grinder, like I know Coach Mick is grinning in the ear because Ohio State, they love guys who go on a grind. The shine is going to come. You're playing in front of 100,000. You're going to play on TV. But a guy who puts the work in, keeps his head down, and no matter what his success looks like, it doesn't determine his work ethic. Those are things that I know that create longevity, and that's why a guy like that is going to be successful. He's blessed with 6'4", can run fast, like all that stuff, but you can't teach the work ethic in guys. And I think that's sometimes a missing ingredient. But when a guy like that has the talent and then the work ethic that I hear that he has, the sky's the limit. So I'm excited to see how he continues to develop along with the other guys, and hopefully we can get back on track this week.
Terry, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Hope this is the first of many. Congrats on everything that's gone on so far. I know it's we're marathoning. We're not sprinting, but 5-2 is pretty good. So
definitely.
You be well. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, Rich. Thank you, man.
Right back thanks at you. You bet. That's Terry McLaurin of the current NFC East leading. That sounds pretty good. Washington Commanders at 5-2 right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Well, that was a delight.
Yeah. Almost makes you like Ohio State, right? Right, Rich?
I'm buttering up in advance of what I believe will be inevitable in November. Trying to soften the blow. That was delightful.
Great
kid. Makes you like the Commanders, huh?
No.
Oh, come on, TJ.
Come on.
But Terry McLaurin, every interview I've ever seen over the last few years, he comes off as a great guy, and he's someone that, you know, as a football player.
A warrior.
Yeah.
Like you want that. That's one of those guys you want on your team.
Yeah, he's great. He's come across great every time I've heard the man speak.
Let's take a break. Tua has spoken. Phone lines are lit. We're going to take every last phone call we can. That's how we're rolling into our final segment on this Monday.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My favorite guests, and I'm not just saying that because you're sitting right here.
I think you are. What are you, on steroids or something?
I am actually on steroids, Bryan Cranston. Last Flag Flying in select theaters now.
We're going to have to disqualify this show because of your steroid use.
You know what? I thought about that before taking that steroid.
Now, wouldn't it be disheartening if you took the steroid and you had the best show ever? Then you'd go, oh my God, oh, I have to take more steroids. How can you go off the steroids?
Since you and I last spoke here on this show, your Dodgers went to the World Series.
There was that five-hour game that went in. That was insane.
It was insane. I am proud to say I stuck around to extra innings for that night. I did see some people in this town, people that you would know, people that we have all seen on television. Look,
call them out.
I can't do it.
Do it.
I can't.
You're on steroids. What the hell do you care?
I do have that as a fallback position, do I not? But I would never do that to you.
It is. Your Honor, I was on steroids at the time when I made that comment.
When somebody from Arrested Development got up.
Yes.
But,
Jason Bateman.
No,
you've been
had.
Face, Jason.
There's a lot of people.
I'm disappointed, Jason.
Will Arnett.
Wow. But it wasn't.
It just amazes me seeing in Breaking Bad and in Better Call Saul the number of characters whose demise eventually is met because of your character. Is
ooh, me?
I know exactly. It is remarkable.
I unfortunately have that association. If I spend any amount of time with someone, they end up dying, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest you get life insurance. You know, you want to protect your family.
Yeah, everything you do that. Okay.
Sorry.
All of Bryan Cranston's appearances available on our YouTube channel. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, I mentioned earlier that Tua Tagovailoa is going to have a practice window open on Wednesday, and that's when we'll hear from him next, because that's usually when you hear from the quarterbacks who are going to start the next game. And lo and behold, who stepped up to the podium after Mike McDaniel spoke? But Tua Tagovailoa, when he was asked about the risk he is taking about playing football again.
Well, how much risk do we take when we get up in the morning to go drive to work? Get into a car crash, maybe. I don't know. Everything, I think, takes risk. So to answer that question, every time we all suit up, we're all taking a risk that we could potentially get hurt, whether it's a concussion, a broken bone, anything. You get up off of the bed the wrong way, you potentially could risk you spraining your ankle. There's just risk in any and everything. And I'm willing to play the odds. That's it.
Man, I am just hoping everything works out for him.
Yeah, I just don't like that attitude of like every day, every time we leave our house, there's risk. Like, yeah, no kidding. But you're choosing to do this as a profession where you've experienced very publicly these types of injuries, and you're willingly put yourself at risk again without taking more precaution by wearing the Guardian cap.
Yeah, I mean, it's I wish he would wear it. He said it's a personal choice. And again, dude, the guys who wear it say it's a heavier helmet. And again, I honestly don't know if it's truly a matter of it looks bad and you don't want it to look bad. And that you're standing out, like you're admitting, like, yeah, I'm prone to concussions. I honestly don't know what it is. That said, I do understand. I've heard that from so many players who have had concussion problems, and I've heard it from so many players who have had injury issues. Like, what, you know, I'm a football player. This is what I do. This is my passion. This is what I've grown up to be, and I'm not going to let the injury gods tell me how to handle my business. My heart will be in my throat every single time he fades back and he starts leaving the pocket, and I just would love him to wear that Guardian cap. It's not me, and I'd love him to slide more. Hey, man, he made it through all of last season without having those issues. So, I mean, you know,
maybe he's talked to people. You said it's a little heavier as a quarterback.
I don't know.
Maybe that could be a problematic for him. So
let's go over to the phone lines. Terzo and I have been hanging on since jump. What's up, Terzo? All rise.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
I had a whole entire thing planned for today. If the Chiefs won, I thought TJ would probably get a kick out of it, with given his awesome podcast. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to even do it next week, because I don't see us beating the Cowboys after they get off of their bye.
I don't know, man. You have their number. I just would love to see Debo out there. We're waiting on Ayuk information. Have we heard anything on that front today?
I haven't seen anything about that.
Waiting on him.
Feared is what the word I keep seeing.
You know? I have, the only thing that I saw was just an initial, scare for the ACL. So, seeing the way he went down, I just have a feeling that he's going to be out for the season.
Like I said, Terzo, you've heard us talk about it, and I'll just reiterate it for you. After the Cowboys game, if you win that one, and I think you will personally, because the Cowboys are going to come off their bye just as injured as you are at the key positions. You're 4-4. Go get healthy and then get everyone back one by one. That no one's running away with the division. You've already the one team that's in front of you right now. You've already beaten them on their turf. And that's it. And then just go into the playoffs as healthy as you possibly can as a 4 seed or 3 seed and go do some damage. That's the way to do it.
Well, that's what I could always hope for, but I could always hope for the Chiefs get a offensive holding call against us in one of any games that we play them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Terzo and Iowa, everybody.
Hey, Terzo, before you go, what was the wrestling thing you were going to try to work in had you won the game?
Well, TJ, let's see if the Niners actually win next week, and then I might be able to.
He wants he wants to save the gold for when he actually can crow. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Terzo. Matthew in Wappingers Falls, New York. What's up, sir?
Falls. Where's that?
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Long time listener, first time caller.
Burr, 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 burr.
And I owe you a big apology.
Oh, four.
I cannot tell you how ready I was to call into this program and get you excited for the Jets football season. I've been hearing you beat down on them all offseason, and I was so ready for it to go well, only for it to not. And I just want to say that you were right, and I apologize for doubting you.
Listen, I don't mean to be, I do like being right, but not when it makes others upset, and. I don't know. Are you a Yankee fan, Matthew?
No, I'm a Mets fan. So
okay,
I'm still
all right.
Pretty
it's,
good.
Wasn't
still,
a great Sunday night for you, Mets Jet fans. Not a great night. Are you a Knicks fan?
I am a Knicks fan.
There you go. Congratulations. They have a lot
to look forward to.
Exactly. Enjoy that, Matthew, because the Jets are honestly, I'm done being involved in their emotional roller coaster, and I appreciate it, Matthew. Thank you. I've been off that train. And part of me was to get off that train knowing I had a game of theirs. Just so. And it's frustrating for you Jet fans out there. How about that? I just removed myself from the equation. It's Yankee World Series season.
Oh, it's like DJ.
I'm so excited.
What?
So excited. So very excited.
It's so funny that you're back because, like, a week ago, you were done with baseball.
Yeah.
It's, like, so bizarre.
Well,
last year, he was done with baseball.
That was a stinging loss. That was a stinging loss.
Well, I mean,
and then the Yankees came back, and by the way, so we didn't even talk about because we just yada, yada, yada that game four. That was insane.
It's nuts.
Those games in Cleveland were awesome baseball games.
Crazy. Yeah.
The fans were lit. The Nailers are lit.
Big Christmas?
Honestly, Big Christmas takes massive hacks. Like somebody messed with Jobu's rum every single time. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I aged, like I said to you, 10 years.
Because the Guardians are a really good baseball team, man. They are good.
Rich, your comeback for how you aged.
Yeah, it's been 84 years. Yankees make the World Series for the first time in forever. I just went frozen. All right. Two games on Monday night. We'll talk about them on Tuesday's show. Check out Overreaction Monday. We're about to record it.
Bingo.
All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
A father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.